Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 25 of season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick, Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off this week, after he's tried to finish himself off, is J-Dub of Dubsism. Welcome back to the show, J-Dub.
Since we're at the end of the week, does that make this Yippee Ki Fri-Yay?
Very good. I like it. I've never thought about that way before. Did you think of that on the spot?
Yeah, you know, one man's chemical imbalance is another man's tagline, you know.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Well, feel free to use.
I might just do that. So minute 25 begins with Zeus rolling his eyes and joining in, and ends with Simon threatening John if he doesn't answer correctly. So we ended things yesterday with John coming to the realization that he needs Zeus more than Zeus needs him, and convinces him to stick around in order to help out with whatever this plot that Simon has is going to be. And then John answers the phone and goes, hello. And what's really interesting is that, you know, he picks up the phone and then you see him hold the phone at an angle so that Zeus can get closer and also listen in. Do you think that really works? The way that the two of them are standing?
It's a movie. I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm going to go with probably not, but, you know.
Okay. All right. I guess that's the answer for anything when you're dealing with a movie. It's a movie. They, you know, in their world, it works. That's what you're saying. You know.
Exactly.
And then we hear Simon's voice on the other side of the phone, and we hear birds of a feather flock together. So do pigs and swine. Rats and mice have their chance, as will I have mine. So before we even get to John's response to this, have you heard this this proverb beforehand?
It sounded familiar, a very, very nursery rhyme, if you ask me, but I couldn't tell you exactly what it was, but it did sound familiar. Maybe it's just because of the format, or you're going to tell me this is an actual thing.
Oh, yes, now, aren't you? It is. This is a real English proverb from many years ago.
Okay. And I suppose here we're going to get the etiology and the whole shot. Right?
Nah, we'll skip it though. We'll just say the first time it was used in English writing as an idiom was in 1545 in a satire known as the rescuing of the Papist Fox. So you know, an anti-Catholic.
Which was not a Shakespeare.
No. But the idea basically is that you know, people that are similar, you know, tend to associate with one another. That's
which is true.
Which is basically the idea here behind this this whole thing. So John then looks at it and goes, "Nice, rhymes," which is such a great John McClane line, just for him to say it that way. Yeah, that's nice. It rhymes. And then he hears over the phone, "Why was the phone busy? Who are you calling?" And then John goes, "The psychic hotline." Which, for people who aren't familiar, in the late 80s and early 90s, that was very popular. You know, you'd have all these, you know, commercials, whether it was late night or even during the day with, you know, you call the psychic hotline and stuff like that. You know.
My favorite was the Jamaican woman, Miss Cleo. Remember her?
No, I don't recall.
You're a lucky man. That the minute you said psychic hotline, that was what came to my head right away.
Okay, could be. Now, we see in the background a bus. And did you happen to notice the ad on the bus?
Okay, now this is where you're doing this on purpose. You know I never see things in the background. So now, here's
no, but knowing you,
Jade up on this
no,
podcast. Hey, did you look at the background? Like, no, I missed it. No, I didn't see it.
Okay, John, first of all, the reason I'm asking is because I figured this is something that you would notice. Okay? It is an
Okay.
ad for Penthouse. And the tagline is more birthday suits than ever. Okay?
Okay, so now I begs the question, why is that something I would notice?
Based on one of the trilogies that you discussed 3 days ago.
Okay, so you make one Porky's joke, and all of a sudden I'm just all
You're
about
not,
boobs.
no,
Is
I didn't
that
say you're all about it, but I figured that it's something that possibly you were paying attention to. That's the whole thing.
It's a fair connection. Plus, I doubled down on that with Cage
There you go.
G. So, I mean, it's a fair
That's right.
connection.
That's right. Do you know what year Penthouse magazine debuted?
Debuted. I'm gonna go with about 1969.
65. Very close. Very close. It started out as a British publication that simultaneously was published in the US and in England in March of 65, but here's where you're right. In 1969, they started an American edition, which was published in the US.
Okay.
In the it started off as a softcore magazine, and then in the 90s it evolved into a more hardcore magazine. You it what it became very well known that the idea that the centerfolds of these magazines, they had a model who was known as the Penthouse Pet. And then they would have the pet of the month and things like that. It became also very popular for having stories that people would send it.
Oh,
People would send.
that was the running joke, because everybody read it for the
No, I'm not
articles.
talking about the articles. That's Playboy that everyone read for the articles, apparently. But here they would have people would send in stories of things that apparently happened to them.
Oh, the forum. Yes, that's
That's right.
there's a story on my blog in the series Story Time. I think it's episode two, where the Penthouse Forum does get mentioned quite liberally. And so again, your connection is even more
Yeah,
fair
you
now.
see, there you go. And it actually became one of the first publications to show full frontal nudity in it, because Playboy would always hide certain things. Here they didn't. They were they showed everything, and that's why it became very popular. So John is on the phone. He's got his quips. So far, he's gotten two quips today. He's talking about the rhyming and the psychic hotline, and then he gets scolded by our good friend Simon, who says, "I'd advise you to take this more seriously." And he goes, "Look, it's a public phone. What do you want me to say? You can simply say that there was a fat woman on it, and it took you a minute to get her off." John is a little taken aback by this comment. And then at this point, Simon calms down and says, "Now, John, there's a significant amount of explosives in the trash receptacle next to you. Try to run, and it goes up now." Then John responds, "Nobody's going to run, but I got 100 people out here." "That's the point. Now, do I have your attention?" And we see John and Zeus both listening in attentively. And then we get another parable, fable, rhyme from our good friend Simon, who goes, "As I was going to St. Ives, I met a woman with seven wives. Every wife had seven sacks. Every sack had seven cats. Every cat had seven kittens. Kittens, cats, sacks, and wives. How many were going to St. Ives? My number is 555. And John goes, No, wait. I didn't get all that. Say it again." "Not a chance. My phone number is 555 and the answer, but I didn't. Call me in 30 seconds or die." So I actually love this segment because I think Simon does a great job giving us the evilness of this character. Because the type of riddle that he's giving right now, it makes it sound as if there is no chance at all of anyone ever getting it. within 30 seconds. And...
Well, that's definitely the feeling. And just so we're clear, the minute that he tells him about the explosive in the wastebasket, that's when I started looking at the background, because I'm like, okay, I'm watching all the people that are walking through the edge of the frame, just so you know how much foot traffic is going by there. And if there's a bomb in that trash can, he's going to kill a lot of people.
But did you notice what is in the trash can?
Trash.
There is a Dunkin' Donuts container.
I did not notice that, but I have a feeling that you're mentioning that because it's going to be important next week.
No, it's important today.
Okay.
Today we're gonna talk about Dunkin' Donuts.
All right.
Do you know when Dunkin' Donuts opened up?
Ooh, that's got to be sometime in the 60s.
You're sort of right. It opened in 1948, but it had a different name. It was known as Open Kettle. And in 1950, he changed the name to Dunkin' Donuts because, he was trying to think of an idea of turning it into a restaurant, that he wanted a place that donuts and coffee would be the two most important things that that people would want. And in 1963, the owner, Bill Rosenberg, let his son take over as CEO, Bob Rosenberg. And they by 1963, they'd already opened their 100th location.
Okay, so they're already in full swing by the 60s.
Yeah, completely. Completely. But in 1963 was when they came under new management, stuff like that. They eventually went public in 1968, and Baskin Robbins bought it up in 1990. And by 1998, they had 2,500 locations with a $2 billion amount. And even during the 90s, they bought up two rival donut chains, Mr. Donut and Dawn Donuts. And I mean, the company just kept growing and growing. And, you know, even nowadays, how many do you think they still have today?
Dunkin' Donuts? Well, I know they just rebranded to Dunkin', because there's one literally about two blocks down the street from where I live. I'm going to say, are we talking worldwide or just in America?
Whichever you want to give me.
Okay, worldwide, I wouldn't really have a good guess for. In America... Out of America, I would say there's probably somewhere around 3,000 of those things.
Which you said are now known as just Dunkin', right?
Yes.
It's interesting that they would actually change the name that way. You know.
Well, because they sell more than donuts now. Now you can get, you know, breakfast sandwiches and other
things. Well, I mean, I remember as a kid, I would always go and you can buy, I would buy muffins. I would like buy muffins and... I don't know what else I wear. I remember that this guy that I knew used to trade me silver dollars for dollar bills. Like, I'd give him dollar bills and he'd give me silver dollars, and I would go and pay in Dunkin' Donuts, you know, for, you know, with a silver dollar, and it would drive them nuts.
And why were they perturbed by silver dollars?
Because it was something that they just weren't used to, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. Don't really know the answer to that. But in 2020, they actually went in and closed up 800 of their shops because of the pandemic.
Well, that makes sense.
Which you know, is something that nobody expected. Obviously, there are 40 kosher Dunkin' Donut shops around the country.
I'm pretty sure not one of them is in Indiana.
I the truth is, I wouldn't be surprised if there was one in Indianapolis, but I don't know. That I couldn't tell you.
So yeah, I you know, maybe there's one in Indy. If there nowhere else in the state is there one, I would guess you would be better off trying to find one in Chicago.
Oh, for sure. That's else for sure. That's
the area. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, New York City, obviously, Los Angeles, obviously, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, not so much.
Probably, you know, not. Yeah. Worldwide, how many Dunkin' Donut locations do you think there are?
I was going to say worldwide's a tougher number to guess because I don't know how many other countries would have them. It's in 42
different countries.
42 different countries, so it's just beyond the Western world. 10,000.
13,000. Very, very close.
Okay.
So that's great. Right. Wow. 13,000. Wow. That's just an amazing number. So basically we have parable of St. Ives, as I was going to say. And it is exactly word for word here with the way that they do it. But it originally is found in a manuscript from 1730. We'll talk more on Monday about the actual answer to this whole thing. But it's interesting that this is a riddle, you know, the way that they set it up. You have this, you know, this story. It's a nursery rhyme that is a riddle of trying to figure out, you know, how many people were going to St. Ives. So we're going to leave people over the weekend to think about that, to try and figure out how many people, are going to St. Ives.
Well, and don't worry about that cliffhanger there, audience, because just like every nursery rhyme, I'm sure this ends up somewhere completely horrible.
We're not talking about the Black Death and Ring Around the Rosie and things like that.
Okay, I was just going to say, are you going Ring Around the Posy here?
Exactly.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, so I don't have anything else to say about this minute. Would you like to give us your final sports analogy?
Well, and this one is a bit of a callback to yesterday's, where I talked about, the buddy picture and the, you know, warm, loving romance between Jeff Kent and Barry Bonds. In this case, it started with, we're going to go full circle, because in Monday's episode, I talked about the Zsa Zsa Gabor accent, and here you get the Zsa Zsa Gabor accent giving you the St. Ives bit. But in my notes is like, you know, Zsa Zsa Gabor is giving me eighth grade algebra story problems. And that kind of runaround where you're talking in things that are deliberately not made people to understand clearly. It felt like when you watch a sports news show and you have a big time athlete who's trying to negotiate his contract, and he'll have an agent who is speaking in St. Ives. But it's like, well, how much money do you really want? Do you want $250 million over 7 years? These are no trade clauses. They're this and they're that. Well, I've got a bag with seven things, and I've got this, and I've got that. And you got 30 seconds to figure it out, or I'm pulling the plug. That is 100% the most famous sports agent in sports right now.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jerry Maguire.
He has such a reputation. I think Jerry Maguire might actually be based on Scott Boras, but Scott Boras is a little bit more, because Jerry Maguire is what, like 98,
96.
Somewhere in there? I mean, that's a 90s,
yeah, 96
movie, right? Okay, so Scott Boras, take Scott Boras and move him 20 years in the future. You kind of got a Jerry Maguire thing going on.
I've actually heard of Scott Boras.
Again, so it's a guy who's... Okay, so then you kind of know. Did you know that there are a lot of teams in Major League Baseball that will not talk to him? If you are a Scott Boras client, do not call the Atlanta Braves. They will not return your phone call. If you are, because they just don't want to deal with him. Because he does things like the St. Ives riddle. And that's, I mean, I don't know how else to really put that analogy out there. But if you're not familiar with Scott Boras, re-listen to the part where Rob is talking about the St. Ives thing. That's the kind of stuff he does, and it's not really good faith stuff when you're trying to negotiate.
So he says, call me back in 30 seconds or die?
Call me back in 30. Yeah, he's a very, very good guy at using time as a pressure, to exert pressure to get you to do things that you may not want it to.
Interesting. Okay. Makes sense. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope so. Actually, but, you know, what I said earlier, we can start a drinking game by how many times I say, does that make sense? You're ahead of me on the count, so, you know, maybe there's going to have to be some drinking
later. Who says I'm already not?
Well, I did say that we were using a video component to make this audio podcast, and if you are drinking, you're hiding it very well.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
I'm not going to give you
Okay. Away. All right, good. All right, so let's get into the script. So
I don't know what's in that paper bag. I mean, come on.
Quiet, quiet. All right, so let's get into the script. So Zeus reluctantly goes back to the phone. McClane answers the phone. Zeus crowds in next to McClane, sharing the receiver. Hello? Birds of a feather flock together, and so will pigs and swine. Rats and mice all have their chance, and so will I have mine. Why was the phone busy? Were you calling someone? No. I think there's been non-compliance. I think people are going to die. No, it was just some lady. I swear it, just some lady. I believe you, John. Oh my, it's time for a pop mental aptitude quiz. Simon laughs. McClane and Zeus exchange a glance. What the? Simon, very low and fast. Solve the following riddle, or you get a penalty. Ready? Wait, what's the penalty? Oh, the trash receptacle next to you. McClane and Zeus look at the wire trash can next to them, which has been in frame the whole time. There's 10 pounds of plastique in there. Listen carefully. As I was going to St. Ives, I met a man with 7 wives. Every wife had 7 sacks, every sack had 7 cats, every cat had 7 kittens, kittens had sacks and wives. How many were going to St. Ives? My phone number is 555. And the answer, call me in 30 seconds or die. And that's the way it ends. Again, I like the humor that McClane adds into these scenes. So I think it works much better that way. So, yeah.
That is a good use of it. I will agree with that.
Of the humor, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He just does the it. Yeah, I like the fact that he just goes, that's nice, it rhymes. just matter of factly. Yeah, you're giving me something that rhymes. Okay, I can deal with that. So at this point, we have Friday's segment. Friday's segment is a segment called Name That Movie. So as you may or may not know, this movie, the original title of this movie was Simon Says. So what I decided to do was call the internet and find original titles of movies. And now I'm gonna test you, John, see if you can guess what movie the original title is referring to. I'll give you some hints
Now,
along the way.
do I get a phone a friend option here,
No,
or is
there's no
there?
phone a friend option, but I will give you 3 different hints if needed. So the
Okay.
first hint will be the year that the movie came out.
Okay.
The second hint will be either the director or the main actor, and then the third hint will be the other one.
And do I score more points if I don't need any of the hints?
Yes, you will get more points in my book for that. Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right. So the first movie is what movie's original title from 1984 was Cyborg?
Cyborg, 1984. Terminator.
Very good. See, there you go. You got that. Excellent. All right.
Okay, one for
One for
one.
one. Now we're going to go with number two. What movie from 1988 was originally known as Nothing Lasts?
Thing lasts forever, 1988. Let's go for hint number one there, Chuck.
All right. Hint number one, you want the name of the director or name of one of the actors?
Give me the actor.
Reginald Vell Johnson.
Reginald Vell Johnson, 1988. You're not, you don't tell me it's Die Hard.
Yes,
Okay, wow.
All right. The third one, this is actually a fake title that was used during production of this movie. What was the original fake title of a movie that came out in 1983 that was known as Blue Harvest?
Blue Harvest 1983. Can I get the actor, please?
All right, let me think of which actor to give you for this one. David Prowse.
Oh, jeez, Dave. Wow, that didn't help me at all.
You don't know who David Prowse is?
Kind of not really.
All right, all right. So I'll give you a different actor then. That's fine. How about Billy Dee Williams? Does that help you?
Billy Dee Williams. Okay, now I know who David Prowse is. This is the Star Wars movie, right?
Yes.
I can't. Which one came? Was it? It's Return of the Jedi.
Yes, it is. Very good.
Okay. And David Prowse. David Prowse is what? Isn't he?
He's the actor who played Darth Vader, but they didn't use his voice.
They used James Earl Jones' body. It's either. I couldn't remember. He's one of the two giant guys. He was either Chewie or Darth.
That's right.
Okay. All right. I'm not completely senile.
That's okay. I'm giving you stuff that I think that you could guess. You know, I'm not giving you some crazy things. All right. So
this is things that I could get. This is like your version of Celebrity Jeopardy. You've dumbed it down.
I haven't dumbed it down. I want to make this, possible. I don't want to give you things that there's no way that you're going to guess them.
Well, you know, okay, I appreciate
it's,
that.
It's called knowing your guest. You know, that's what it comes down to.
And I appreciate that. And, you know, don't sell yourself short on what a quality host you are.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, number four. What movie from 1979 was originally called Star Beast?
Star Beast. I'm gonna take a shot and say Alien.
And you would be correct. Wow. You see, you're doing well here. You're doing well here. All right, and the final one from 1995. What movie's original title was Sky on Fire?
Sky on Fire. Okay. Because it's 1995, does it happen to be the very movie we're talking about right now?
No.
No. No. Okay, I thought you might try and slip one in on me there.
No, that one we know is Simon Says.
You know, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's true. Okay. See, this is why I had to be dumbed down. I already knew that and didn't remember. What's the actor?
All right. Let's see. What actor should I give you for this one? Bill Pullman, 1995.
Independence Day.
That is correct. You see, you did very well there.
Well,
I'm very proud of you, John.
Like it's the 1960s where, you know, you could get a guy that made three movies in 1960, but in 1995, okay, there was like one Bill Pullman movie, you know?
Okay. All right. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for playing.
Well, I was nervous. I didn't have to go to hint number two. That's I feel like that's a small victory.
That is, it definitely is. And some of those you got on the first guess too. That is very, very impressive. All right.
I will claim any victory I can.
Please do, please do. All right. So why don't you, for one last time this season, tell people where they can find you.
You can find me, dubsism.com. It's the world's most interesting independent sports blog, DUB SISM. It's first page search result on Google. You can email me at dubsism@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at dubsism. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram. Just search me, DUBSISM. I am out there.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, my email address is movierobminute@movierob.net. So, John, thank you very much for joining me once again. This was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Years since we've done this, but that's, you know, for various and sundry reasons. It's good to be back and get those votes in for your Blogger Comeback Player of the Year award, because I'm on the ballot.
All right. Excellent. So I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, yippee-ki-yay Friday. Yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother truckers.
Marching home again. Hoorah. Hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah. Hoorah. The men will cheer. The boys will shout. The ladies, they will all turn out and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.